Okay, we're back from recess. We'll continue on our meeting. First thing is going to be the approval of minutes of December 7th, 2021. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters in appreciation of the human service grants from Sussex County Council. They are Delaware Seashore Preservation Foundation, Delaware Hospice, Delaware Consortium, Volunteer Delaware 50 Plus, and Love, Inc. And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay, we'll move to public comments. Anybody in the audience wants to make a public comment to council, you'll have 3 minutes. So you can watch this clock up here. It goes from green to amber to red. And when it comes over red, you're supposed to stop. And something the council has some control of or interest in. So please come on board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Nancy Williams from Lewis. I'm the president of the Covey Creek Owners Association. I have lived in Covey Creek for 34 years. And I represent the owners of 91 properties. As I understand it, comments made before council last week were from a state employee representing a state agency who provided the council with both incomplete and inaccurate information concerning the status and condition of the homeowner and her property in Covey Creek. There are times in all of our lives when we need help. But there are also times when we need to be held accountable for our actions. Our community's interest in the responsibility of Sussex County residents to pay their taxes and be upstanding members of society is driven by a damaging and hazardous situation that exists in our neighborhood. Efforts to encourage this neighbor to be a responsible member of the community have failed, and the circumstances have moved from being a nuisance to being a hazard and a drain on resources. The non-payment of taxes and utilities, irresponsible use of resources such as first responders, the illegal disposal of hazardous materials such as human waste, and the failure to maintain the property should be enough for our community to turn to you for help. After investigation of the situation and rejected offers made from the county, the Sussex County officials decided to move forward and hold this homeowner accountable through a sheriff's sale of the property. We're asking our elected officials to aid us in this situation by following through with that plan. There were a number of our residents who wanted to be here today but couldn't be, but would those who are here please raise their hands? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Anybody else in the audience? Last call in the audience. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Lorraine Cipriano. I live at 109 Dove Drive in Lewis. And I'm also here in reference to the sheriff's sale for 108 Dove Drive. I had already emailed all the council members, and I do have copies of that email in case nobody has had a chance to read them. I have a picture or pictures of the property at 108 Dove Drive, and I think you can see that it is not taken care of. It's an eyesore to our community at Covey Creek. I brought these pictures because I wanted to stress the condition. And my husband and I are on a fixed income and worry that we'll outlive our savings, but we still pay all our bills, including, excuse me, including our taxes and our sewer bills. Because most people have a sense of integrity and they maintain their properties and pay their bills. Last Tuesday, a social worker representing Elizabeth Barrett, also known as Mary Elizabeth Broadhurst, asked why the tax bureau was pursuing her client for the approximately $4,800 she owes when other people owe so much more. I also would like to know why you're not pursuing those tax delinquents. Starting with this case is a step in the right direction, one that would start to reduce the millions of money that are owed to Sussex County. I'd like to commend Mark Schaefer for listening to his constituents and trying to take the first step. I would hope the remaining council members would follow his example and get involved and act. Please don't take a step backwards. There would be more people here from Covey Creek, but due to their individual jobs, and also, more importantly, most people don't think this is going to make a difference. They think coming to these meetings is a waste of time. I'd like to prove them wrong. I don't believe that, and I do appreciate all your efforts in all that you do, and wish you all a very happy holiday.
Thank you. You can leave those documents with the clerk down there if you want to, the pictures and that.
Sure.
Your email.
Thank you.
So, thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Joan Tracy. I live at 106 Dove Drive in Lewis, and I would like to relate a specific instance regarding this matter about the sheriff's sale of 108. And I think it bolsters our case that should go forward, because it is not simply a matter of we think that the property isn't maintained or that there's some other nefarious reason. Nothing could be further from the truth. Earlier this year, the people in that house, the owner of the house, due to not paying their electric bill in addition to the property taxes and other bills, there was no electricity going to that home. Because of that, they decided it was okay for them to run a generator 24/7 until who knows when. Well, who knows when came when our wonderful state representative, Mr. Lopez, stepped in to help us with that and get the electric turned back on. But before the electric was turned back on, there were weeks where it was running 24/7, despite several people complaining to me personally as vice president of the Homeowners Association, and different forays I had made to the property owner went unheeded to please use the generator at just certain times during the day. It was neglected. It kept running. So the person who lived next door to her wasn't sleeping. So this is not just a matter of a person who is not mowing the lawn or whatever. It's someone acting in an aberrant, dangerous manner more than once. But this particular instance shows it right to the point, because that person wasn't able to sleep for weeks on end. Due to a lack of sleep, that person tripped and fell. That fall led to her passing, and we lost her last year. So someone's aberrant behavior really needs to be accounted for. And if you can't maintain a property properly, and you can't maintain and take care of yourself properly, you're a danger to others and other people in the neighborhood. So I respectfully ask you to continue with the sheriff's sale in the hopes that the property and we would be able to get some redress and satisfaction. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Anyone else in the audience? Operator, would you check online, please, and invite for public comment?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star.
See those for a second.
I
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. At this time, we have no one who wishes to speak.
Thank you. We'll close public comment. Next item is a consent agenda. I had one item. Use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement IUA-S21-25 Cambria Hotel, West Rehoboth area. Any questions or concerns about this item? Then motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Aye, we end. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item on the agenda is a presentation by the Sussex Sports Center Foundation. I'd like to invite Mr. Joseph Schell forward. Mr. Schell is the president of the foundation. He, along with other members of the foundation, are present today. They're going to lead us in a discussion related to the activity at the Sandhill Fields facility. Mr. Schell, thanks for being here today. Welcome. Brad, if you want to bring the presentation up, it should be right there on the drop bar. There it is.
Thank you. My name is Joe Schell. I live in Lewis. Thanks, Todd, for the introduction. We've been here before on the same subject of making a park out of a portion of land up on the other side of the Tier Center on the east side of Georgetown. And we've had great success, largely due to your support 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago, you gave us $1.5 million in a loan to go along with the private funding, which was $3.8 million, to cover all the expenses of building the fields out there. There's 8 soccer fields, as most of you know. There's a running trail, walking running trail. There's pickleball courts. There's playground, and believe it or not, there's a church service there every Sunday. People, the parishioners will be in the parking lot. This is part of the COVID thing when people were trying to stay apart. And they've liked it so much, they seem to continue on. So we're not using it very much on Sunday morning. So it's a great opportunity for us to serve the community. They don't pay us anything, but that's as it should be. Anyway, I want to give you some statistics. What I was just talking about is the phase one of our development of this property. From 2017 to 2020, we worked to grade the property, but we had a lot of wet weather in a couple of those winters, which made it a longer construction project than we had anticipated. We opened in September. The cost was $5.8 million. We did not run over the budget, which was a blessing. And as I said, the private funding was $4.3 million. Public funding was you all, nobody else. We didn't go to the state. We didn't go to the town of Georgetown, seriously. And we got $1.5 million from the county in the form of a loan. That loan will be paid back starting in 2030. It'll be paid back over a period of years, unless the county takes us up on the option that we gave you to buy the facility for $1 at that time. If you don't, then we'll start paying the mortgage payments, which we're happy to do. But we think at that time it will be such a significant part of the county's recreational activities that you will want to be involved with it, and we hope that's the case. Phase two is what we're here to talk about today. It's something that just came up because of the success we had with the fields. All the clubs said, we need to do something with our kids in the wintertime. We can't just hibernate. We need to get into something that is a little bit more comfortable in the wintertime. So we developed a plan to build a field house, as you see there. That's not our field house. That's just a rendering that was done by a firm for us. We think it can be built in a year, less than a year. We can be built in 2022. So in the winter, beginning in January of 2023, the kids will be inside playing and practicing and getting some activity. The estimated construction cost, believe it or not, this is just on an acre or two of land as compared to the 75 acres that the fields are on. Nonetheless, it's cost more than the fields. So it's going to cost $6.5 million. As some of you know, I said a couple months ago it was going to cost $6 million. But we've had a little inflation since then in the price of steel, and this will be a steel building. So we've upped the logical cost to $6.5 million. Private funding will provide four. The good news is that we have $3.88 million that's been committed already, so we're very close to the four. And we hope the public funding will come from you all, where we'll ask for another $1.5 million loan on the same terms as the previous loan. We're also going to the state to see if we can qualify and get some of their rescue funds. They have a basket of money, but you've got to fit through their little wormholes to get to it. We hope that legally we can answer their questions about this being a healthcare facility in a different shape. Public funding, as I said, would be $2.5 million in total. We will be going to the Town of Georgetown's council in January. I don't know what the date is yet, middle of January. And we'll be asking them for a donation as well.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. My name is Brad Leinbach, and I am the general manager at Sandhill Fields. I have a few slides I want to take us through to show you where we came from and where we're at the complex now, and why we think we're ready for the field house. So in our first slide here, in the upper left-hand corner, it's a nice drone shot of beginning construction. The site was cleared out. You can see our fields are starting to take shape via the dirt and soil that's been trucked in. It's been trucked in from multiple places. We created a burrow pit over there near Murray's Lane off of Route 9, off the Lewis-Georgetown Highway, which encompasses our walking trail now. So we took advantage of that and made it a nice thing for the community. Our next slide, just some more images. Again, our construction is progressing. The fields are really taking shape. Again, in the lower left-hand corner, you can see the sand, soil, topsoil that's been brought in to really build those fields up. The lower right-hand corner is a picture I want to draw your attention to. This is from the north side, looking south. We have something highlighted up there, the future solar area. We're looking to develop that land into some solar energy and really make use of that area for us. And where you see the sand fields, that's where we'd like to plan the field house. So that's the location it's going to be. Again, here's a great image from April of 2020. Our parking lot has taken shape. You see the circle. That's our food truck circle. It's kind of where families meet. There's a playground now. It's kind of the heartbeat of the facility as it stands now. Again, some more images. Our grass is finally growing in. It looks green. You're not seeing dirt. You're not seeing sand. That image on your right, our irrigation system's on. We have three different wells out there that irrigate all of our property, our Bermuda fields as well as our common grass. And you know, during our growing season, which is typically April to November, April to late October, we are watering those Bermuda fields every night. They have to get water every single night to keep growing. Getting back to our walking trail, I don't know if we're familiar with it, but if you start our trail up in our facility with the Bermuda fields all the way through the boardwalk, through the woods, over to Murray's Lane, we have almost 3.5 miles of trails that our community can walk. Almost 3/4 of a mile is this boardwalk that you see here. It runs through the woods, it loops around, we have multiple bridges along there. We've constructed a nice handicap bridge in the Murray's Lane area to allow our citizens to come over, as well as some bridges on our fields that encompass our swales and allow people to walk across them. Here's some great images of our entrance. This has come a long way. This is really nice when you drive by. It really makes the park pop out, and it stands out for visitors. The two up top is, you know, where it began, progression, and then finally at the bottom, we have our roadside sign there that's illuminated at night, and our entrance is controlled by a cast iron gate. It opens at sunrise, closes at sunset. We're able to remotely control that at all times to limit the public access. For example, if it rains, we obviously have to close the fields. We don't want people in there playing on the mud, playing on the soft soil, and kind of tearing that up. So that's an example of why we would close it. And then the next few slides, we're going to get into, you know, we went from our construction phase. This is actually our operational phase. I want to show and demonstrate some of the clubs that use it and then the turnout we've had. Here's just a small soccer travel game that's being played. We're able to get two fields here and one of ours. So, you know, while we may have eight dedicated fields, we truly can convert that into 16, you know, if we play sideways as we're doing here. Some highlights from our first year. Top left corner, we hosted a great event for the Ford Troy Foundation. A young gentleman out of the Woodbridge High School area, Troy Haynes, passed away from cancer. And we've worked with his former high school football coach and did a 7-versus-7 passing tournament. This drew people in from all over the state. We had 16 teams from up north and even teams from Maryland. So that was a great event we hosted. Some other images you're looking at, you'll see our front overflow parking lot in the bottom right-hand corner. We can fit up to 450 cars there. In total, we have parking for about 750 cars. And that shot right there is a great image of, you know, a full house, you know, if you will. Pickleball, big for us out there. The community comes out. They'll turn out early in the morning before it gets too hot. And they'll play throughout the day. First State Pickleball Club, they're there often playing throughout the day. Some other events we hosted, the Relay for Life. We've hosted in the bottom left, you'll see field hockey, as well as cross-country meets for the schools. So we're a versatile complex that can really handle, you know, anything the community is willing to throw at us. Some of the big questions we always get is, you know, tournaments. Everyone wants to talk about tournaments. What does it do for the county? What does it do for the community? Here's an example of a tournament we hosted just recently in November. It's a lacrosse tournament. What is amazing about our complex is we saw images early of the parking lot filled with 750 cars. There's probably about 1,500, maybe close to 2,500 people in our complex right now, and it looks empty. You know, it's so vast. People are able to spread out. So it's truly amazing when you see images like this. Again, another great shot of the same tournament. In this shot, you'll see kids. We actually, on this day we did the lacrosse tournament, we actually had soccer practice going on. So we accommodate everything. John, turn back over to you.
So this facility is owned by a foundation, not-for-profit foundation, called Sussex Sports Center Foundation. The governance of that foundation is shown here. There's a couple of officers on the left side, but a board of directors of about 17 different people. In that number that I gave you earlier about how much we've raised so far of $3.88 million, 17 of the 17, 14 have made a contribution. And we believe if we're going to raise money privately, you got to lead from the head. And the foundation's board is the head, and then we will go after other people in the community that we think would enjoy this, enjoy being a part of it. We obviously have a pretty good list from the first round of financing we did, where we raised $4.3 million. My guess is we will raise more than $4.0 million, which is what our project projects, but we'll see. I also wanted to say that one of the things about that solar field that was shown, we've signed a lease agreement with them It's an option for a lease agreement, but it's the stepping stones that they take. For 35 acres, which we have south of where those fields are. So we being me right now, but soon Sussex Sports Center Foundation, I will donate that land to the foundation, and they will lease it and get the lease payments. The lease payments in the first year, which is 2 years from now, 2 or 3 years from now, will be $92,000 and escalating to 2% a year. That's revenue that we didn't anticipate when we first started the fields or the field house. But it's revenue that will be key to making sure that we are a nonprofit, but we're not going to be doing anything other than setting up a reserve to, if we have overage in revenues versus expenses, we'll set up a reserve to be there for capital equipment that we need, tractors or whatever it might be, or for our next brainstorm as to how to use this property. And we'll probably come up with one. Okay, I think it's you.
Yeah, thank you. So the images we looked at earlier, you know, we saw participants, we saw families, and here's just a breakdown of where they're coming from and who our participants are. There's some schools to the left-hand side. Again, we host cross-country meets out there and in various different leagues, and these are some of the schools from the county. Furthermore, there, the next over, which says schools who have paid, that's because they're turning out for a tournament, they're bringing teams out to represent their school, they're playing in leagues to represent their school. The one thing I want to point out is as you guys read through this list, it's really neat to see that our facility has become like a melting pot for the county. You know, whether it's the west side of the county, here locally in the Georgetown area, or even over in Lewis or Hoboth, it's truly become a melting pot where these kids who from various schools are coming together and being able to participate in sports. The next tab over there, if you will, sports organizations. These are clubs who use our fields, our facility on a daily basis. Outtrain, they're bringing athletes out there, college athletes, high school athletes, they're training them for their seasons. Again, the Ford Troy Foundation, which I mentioned earlier. And then you'll see some of the ones that that make our facility home. Henlopen Soccer, they're there throughout the year. These are our little guys all the way up to high school. La Superliga. This is one of the things that has been truly unique, you know, being in the Georgetown area. We've drawn a lot of Hispanic soccer players and athletes. Orange Field Hockey, Seashore Striders. I'll let you guys kind of just read the rest there. And as I just mentioned, I'll touch on the numbers here. We estimate that we got about 108,000 visitors. That's not unique visitors, that's repeat and come back, everyone coming through our gates for the year. With Georgetown being there, the Hispanics there, our soccer population there, and La Superliga, the league we host throughout the year, they're huge users of our facility, which is wonderful. And then, you know, getting down there by age, you'll see 18 and younger, that's kind of our wheelhouse. Our clubs participate with a lot of the youth in the area. And then up 19 and older, that's mainly our pickleball users and some of our adults who come and use the facility.
Okay, this is what a field house looks like on the inside. This is a bigger one than we are projecting that we're going to build. This would cost probably $17 million, not $7 million. So we're going to stay with, or not $6.5 million, we're going to stay with a smaller field house, but nonetheless, very much like this with turf field. At ours, they'll have at the far end, we'll have a different surface. It'll be a sport court, which is good for field hockey, very good for our pickleballers. Pickleball doesn't have very many options, very many good options in this county to keep playing past December. And they want to, and it's the older population, and you want to keep them active. So they do have a way to get out and get off their couch and get out and do some exercise. In any case, the roof is sometimes a cloth material, sometimes it's a metal material. We're probably going to go with the metal material to have the roof. We're going to have windows. This one shows on the far side, there's windows so you can see out. So it connects the field house to the fields themselves. And many of those windows will be just garage doors, big garage doors that just go straight up, and you can let air in so it can get more. So if it's a warm day in the winter, we don't want to be, you know, we can't mess with too much with the thermostat. It doesn't go very quickly on this big of situation. So you open the doors. An example, this is more, a better example of what we're going to be doing, where we have a turf field in the background and a sports court in the foreground. We can separate the courts with drop-down netting. We can do the same thing with the where we put the netting on the big court or the big turf fields. So it's very flexible to accommodate pickleball, field hockey, whatever you want to do, certainly soccer and lacrosse. This is where it will go, looking down from the sky. So it's right at the end of the circle there that Brad talked about. It's squeezed in there. It's, you know, it looks like it's going to impinge on fields 5 and 6 a little bit. But I was out there last night pacing it off to make sure that it doesn't do that. And I'm sure it's fine. We do have to, even though we're going to sprinkle the building for safety, we're still going to have to put a fire lane around 50% of the building. So that's not shown on here. That'll be when our architects get to it, they'll make that happen. And I want to make sure, I got to go back, because I said we think it's going to be $6 million, and we want a $500,000 override just in case. We don't know that yet. We're going to go out for bids. We're going to get 4 contractors who can do steel buildings like this. And we're going to get 4 bids after our DBNF give them the drawings that we want. And so I think in probably 2 months, 3 months, we'll have the information we need to tighten up on that $6 million. But right now, we hope that's a high number, not a low number. But we'll see.
Mr. Rochelle, can I interrupt you 1 second?
Sure, Mark.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but as you had that slide up, and I asked this question when we visited the site a couple weeks ago, and I just want to make sure, because my grandson has made it clear to me that he wants to make sure that I protect this site for state-sanctioned track meets. And we talked about that, and I didn't know this, that the track teams, I think we discussed it, have to line up shoulder to shoulder when at the starting line, and I was assured that the placement of that building would not affect the ability to do that at the head of the course.
Right.
And that's accurate, correct?
It is accurate.
It will not affect state sanctioned meets.
What we'll do is start them in one of these fields, depending on how long the course is. It gets a little hairy because there's drainage in between the fields, and there's dips there, so we can't have kids running through that. That would be, that wouldn't work. So there's still going to be enough area here, but we'll have to start them here so it narrows down. So it's something we were concerned about as well, that this was might be a problem for the runners, but we think we can solve it. We're certain we can solve it.
You won't lose your certification as a state sanctioned track or facility.
If I can just chime in for a second. Mr. Shaker, the way we start our meets now is they start on this area here, Field 8, and they come down. That allows them to line shoulder to shoulder. In speaking with representatives from Seashore Striders, we just will have to alter our course. We may have to start here in the overflow and bring them in. But we have ample space. As the course exists now, it probably will have to change. But that we don't foresee that being
here. You can accommodate, okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Thanks.
So here's the breakdown of the cost that we've estimated at $6 million with the contingency. Most of it goes to the steel structure and the surfaces. So coming back to summarize, right now if we can get the financing that we need in place, we will go forward. We're not going to raise every dollar, I don't think, before we start. But just like the fields, people see the fields and they say, hey, this is better than I thought it was going to be. I'd be happy to support you, particularly the businesses. And the business community in Sussex County is becoming heftier because they have a bigger population. And they will want to be advertising. Well, the best advertising will be from hanging from the rafters of the field house. And we'll do the same thing we did at the fields. We said, if there's a car dealer, there's only going to be one car dealership that can advertise, so you don't get confused. And if it's a restaurant chain, it's only one restaurant chain. It's a home builder, only one home builder. Guess who that's going to be? So anyway, I think that's our kicker. When they see this structure and know that how we can hang banners from that very high ceiling without affecting soccer balls being kicked, they'll be fine.
Mr. Riley.
Quick question. Have you had an opportunity to do any economic analysis on the impact it would have on Sussex County local economy?
Not really.
Not really?
No. I'd like to say
I mean,
yes.
I would suggest that it should be fairly substantial, I would think.
Particularly with the tournaments.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have people coming down from Maryland and Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and staying overnight, two nights, in one of our hotels out on 113, if they want to be close, or everywhere else. It's just the same as DE Turf. They impact that area between Milford and Dover greatly. And that's wonderful, because they needed that. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing will be true with this. We saw good economic impact on our first couple of tournaments where we had people coming from away. But I don't, the dollars I wouldn't, I don't know the answer to that. When you talk to Sports at the Beach, they tell us that it's, I think, just a little less than $1 million a tournament. Now, I don't know if they have the right same number of kids as we have on their fields, but we can accommodate eight fields with probably each team having 25 people. That's a lot of capability. You're right.
I don't recall. Was there a number on county residents versus out of state or people that travel to use this?
No, we don't have that broken down. We should, and we'll get a little more sophisticated as we go. But I think right now we know we had a lot of Pennsylvania plates in the parking lot, but we didn't have a way of that was meaningful to count.
If I may add to that for a second, I can say we've had five national tournaments where we've hosted teams from across the region, across the country. We have about 25 to 30 teams for those five tournaments who've been out of state. So they've come from Florida, Texas, Virginia, Maryland. And that's, again, out of that 25, I would say maybe five of them are from western part of the country, which is absolutely, we found it astonishing. You know, teams are flying in from Texas and California to Sussex County to play. So
yeah, that's a commitment.
It is a commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. I understand that.
Any questions of council? Any questions of council? Okay. Thank you both for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, okay.
If that's all right.
Sure.
Morning.
Morning.
My name's Stephanie Parker. I'm the president of the American Soccer Club. And I'm going to get a little corny here because having these fields has meant a tremendous amount to our club. It has been our field of dreams. And has really been a prime example of if you build it, they will come. We have been able to expand the number and types of programs that we offer. This past summer, we offered for the first time a high school summer league. And you saw in the presentation the list of the eight high schools that were able to participate. They came from all around Sussex County, including one out of Kent County, one out of Berlin, Maryland. where our membership has expanded. This past fall, we enrolled a record number of 634 youth in our fall rec program. Those are youth between the ages of 2 and 15, because we start them young here in soccer. Approximately 20% of that number came from areas that we had not previously been able to really tap into. And I'm talking about Georgetown, Millsboro, Laurel, Seaford, Dagsboro. You know, we have been able to expand our membership to all across the county instead of where we had previously been located. We were a little more limited. We are looking at now hosting a possible adult league starting in January. So this, having these fields has been extremely important to us. It really gave us a home. This new indoor facility is also very important to us. We are weather driven. If it's pouring rain outside and the fields are unplayable, we have had to cancel whatever practice or event has been going on. The temperatures outside also can be limiting. We don't necessarily encourage bringing your four-year-old outside to play when it's 40 degrees or 35 degrees, whereas an older player can handle that. So having an indoor option for when the weather is bad or if we want to offer a particular type of event is very important to us, and we really encourage you to give this some consideration and help us out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
My name is Gerson Watts. I'm the founder president of La Superliga, the Hispanic Soccer Association. We play in St. Hill Fields. La Superliga has been promoting Hispanic soccer in Sussex County for the last 16 years. The last 2 years being our best years, and this is because of the great facilities that we had at St. Hill, also because it's a central location, and because of the growth of the Hispanic population in the area. We had about 30 teams during the season, and this includes men's and women. We had about 1,000 members in the league, and our teams come from Sussex, from Kent, and from Newcastle County, and we even draw players from the neighboring states, Maryland, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. And in the last 16 years, from my experience that we've been promoting soccer, we have noticed that the difference between, like, when we started in C4 in 2006, and we moved then from to Sussex Tech. We played there for about 10 years, and we have seen the difference how, you know, it's been changing the soccer, and how the families are being more attractive now. While the players play on Sunday, you know, they bring their families, they bring their wives, their kids, and they have a good time in the facilities because there is a playground, there is the walking trail, and there's restrooms, and it's a really nice place. So I have seen a big difference. We bring the families more together. In fact, last September, we celebrate the Hispanic Heritage. We celebrate the Hispanic Festival, and we have done this in several years, and we only were drawing like a few hundred people. But last September, we had about, I guess, of about 5,000 people that came to celebrate the Hispanic heritage. We had food, we promote the culture, local singers, and so we had a great time last year. Like I say, again, this is because of the central location, and because it has a bigger parking lot and more space to do this type of events. Our season usually runs from April through September, and after the season is over, because of the weather, we have, you know, our members seek for indoor facilities out of the state. Now with this new indoor facility, that it will be located in Sussex County. We will be able to host tournaments year-round, and we anticipate that our peak season will be the winter. And one of our, I mean, our goal for with this new indoor facility is to expand this, the sports involvement in kids and youth, adult and women, so we can bring the community together. So this is going to be, we're all excited to see this project coming up, so we can, you know, keep promoting sports in Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stedman. I live in Milton. I'm a member of First State Pickleball and an ambassador for Engage Pickleball. Pickleball is considered one of the fastest growing sports in the country, and Delaware is behind the times in accommodating the growth of the sport. 3 years ago, First State Pickleball had 330 members. This year we have over 600, with an estimated probably 1,000 plus players in the community. Some here full-time, many that have come with part-time memberships, and the lack of facilities to enable us to play is really something that, you know, hurts the ability to grow. It is the one sport where a grandson can play with a grandmother, a daughter can play with a father, you know, children and adults play. I'm involved in a league that we play Monday nights where we have a high school boy playing with a 74-year-old man. It's a family and a community. And it's something that I think, you know, facilities like this, we like the other sports, are weather permitting. Wind, rain, snow keeps us off of those courts. We tape courts and parking lots. That's how dire we are in need for facilities to really keep up. Our neighboring states have all seen that demand and they met the demand. So, you know, with all of us and recreation, it keeps us young, it keeps us alive, it keeps us healthy. The more we can do to encourage the ability for community efforts to have facilities that engages us and allows us to play, the appreciation from your communities would be greatly. I mean, you will be there and heard. You won't be able to get rid of us, quite honestly. So I thank you for the consideration, and hopefully we can see this.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes,
please. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Kathy Casey. I am the former president of First State Pickleball Club. I live in Rehoboth Beach. This is Kevin Redding.
This is Kevin Redding, restaurant owner, First State Pickleball member, and touring tournament player.
He's the best player in the state of Delaware, and they fear him in all of the states surrounding here because that's sometimes where he goes to play. So I want to thank Joe Schell for Sandhill, because especially during COVID, the worst of it, we figured out we could play pickleball outdoors, kick the ball across the field, and still be happy and smile and laugh because we were 6 feet apart from each other. And it saved lives. I just want to say that. The oldest player of pickleball is Marion LaShura. You may know her. She's 90 years old. She continues to show up to play sometimes twice a day. She gets off the couch every day. What I want to tell you about pickleball, it is the fastest growing sport in the country as well as here in Sussex County. The sport across America grew 20% year over year. 20%. That's how fast it's growing. As the previous speaker said, 14-year-olds, I play with my grandson who's 12. Kevin can tell you a story of a guy who started playing with his dad, and he is now moving to the pro level. Once kids get engaged, they're fully engaged. What we've observed across our membership here at First State Pickleball is a 34% growth. And the growth that we've seen have been attributed to much of what is at Sand Hill. They've had leagues there, they've had morning play, they've had evening play, and the big thing is it's in the center of the county. And that's really important so that it's accessible to all people. Because of our age, because of our skin conditions, our doctor's warnings to get out of the sun, we are thrilled. We are so grateful for an opportunity for an indoor venue for pickleball so that people who can play year-round and not fear heat strokes, dehydration, or cancer from being overly exposed. And we'd like to offer that to anybody who doesn't want to be exposed to the sun. What First State Pickleball Club offers as a partner with Sand Hill Fields is the opportunity to help organize the venue, to offer leagues, to offer beginner clinics, because 60% of the people who play pickleball have never played a sport. That tells you how simple it is to play that game. So I want to thank you for the time. I especially want to thank the Shell family for Shellville, because how I felt at Shellville is how I feel when I play pickleball. Just super happy, and I'm really grateful, and I hope that you can support this project. It means a lot to the senior citizens who live here and who continue to grow. So thank you.
If I could add, just the centralized location and the multi-use purpose is phenomenal. I belong to a couple, actually I belong to the Salisbury Y, because trying to find indoor facilities to play in the inclement weather is difficult. So I applaud this, and the location is great, ties east and west together. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, it's a good thing. We have Senator Lopez with us, who's a member of the Joint Finance Committee, who has some funds to work with in Dover. I'm sure he can be helpful to you. You should talk to him when you get done here. Any more? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Thank you all for coming and for expressing your support for this project. Mr. Moore.
Yes. Thank you, Mr.